What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, all I gotta know is who in the fuck actually still watches the NBA All-Star Game? Because I stopped watching that shit like, God, I don't even know how many years ago it's been since I actually watched that stupid shit. But it's such a joke, and, you know, they changed up the format yet again this year because they've changed it up about 25 different times, it feels like, and even the players had no clue what the hell was going on during the All-Star Game. And so even though I didn't watch it, I do know all of the issues they had with it. But, you know, honestly, the All-Star Game became a joke many years ago because of LeBron James. Now, I know this is going to be real upsetting to LeBron James fans because we're all supposed to worship the ground that the dude walks on. But one of the many reasons why I don't consider him to be the greatest basketball player of all time is because he's actually turned away a lot of fans from the game, whereas Michael Jordan put all the eyes on the game and actually elevated the game to a level that was still has never been seen before. Whereas now NBA ratings are on a steady decline, have been on a steady decline, and they are absolutely atrocious this year. And it's due to stupid shit like this because the NBA stars have turned into the world's biggest cunts, beginning with the world's biggest narcissist, LeBron James. And many years ago, he decided he's not going to participate in the slam dunk competition, and he's never participated in it. And ever since then, mostly no stars participate in the slam dunk competition. It's always these mid-tier nobodies who we've never even heard of, who come off the bench. And yes, we've had some decent slam dunk competitions over the years, but Max McClung was a three-time winner over the weekend, and it's like, yeah, who the fuck is Max McClung? Yeah, if you're not an NBA fan, you have no idea who that dude is. But if legitimate NBA stars who people actually knew would participate, it would actually be fun. As a matter of fact, the only good thing still about the NBA All-Star Game is the three-point shootout. That's it. Everything else has turned to crap. This year they had like four different teams that played in this stupid little boop, 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 oh, you win, you lose, you blah, blah. Nobody took it seriously. It was all stupid. It was all dumb. And then, of course, the king narcissist, LeBron, he, at the last minute, decided, oh, me too injured to play, so I'm not going to play. And he took a spot from somebody else. And by the way, if you make the All-Star Game, you actually get paid. So there could have been somebody else who could have taken LeBron's spot and actually got paid for that. But no, Queen James do what Queen James do, and that's be the biggest narcissist on the fucking planet. But yeah, the All-Star Game is a joke. It's an absolute joke. Everybody's been making fun of it, not just me in this moment. All the announcers are making fun of it. All the NBA critics are making fun of it. Even, like I said, even the players are like, what the fuck is this shit? So this whole NBA All-Star Game is such a joke. And it's mostly because the NBA All-Stars don't participate and they just act like the world's biggest cunts. And that's why it's such a joke. And that's also why NBA continues to suffer in the ratings department, because they don't want to put a good product out there. They just want to have a bunch of divas walking around. Oh, me don't want to play two games in a row. It's so freaking hard. Like, the fuck you assholes get paid for? Jesus Christ. It's despicable, but that's what happens in the NBA. We get that joke of an All-Star weekend and waste a whole freaking weekend of basketball when they could have actually played legitimate basketball. So let's get into legitimate basketball and my top 10 NBA power rankings for the weekend. Not a whole lot of changes just because, you know, we only had a couple of, you know, they only played half the week this week, but some teams moved around, but there are still some teams, you know, that are surging and dropping. So let's begin with number one remains the Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 44-10. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans, the Miami Heat, and lost a close one to the Minnesota Timberwolves. SGA, man, guy is balling uncontrollably. It's just crazy to see that this guy has just taken over the league the way he has. Jalen Williams added a lot of offense as well, and then they did get Chet Holmgren back, who's been playing very solid since he came back, so it's going to be interesting to see how this season, the second half of the season progresses for the Oklahoma City Thunder, because like I said, I feel like they are the front runner for the championship, and with a healthy Chet Holmgren who gets better as the season wears on, they're going to be pretty difficult to beat once the playoffs roll around. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall record of 44-10. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're actually on a four-game winning streak. This past week, they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Toronto Raptors. They are just knocking down shots like no other. Right now, they lead the league in three-point percentage, knocking down 39% of their three-point shots. They lead the league right now, averaging 123 points per game, and they're actually second in the league, averaging 50% of their field goal percentage. So they are knocking down shots, having no issues doing it, but as I keep saying, their defense is really damn good as well, and they're kind of avoiding the injury bug like a lot of the majority of the teams this year, of course, are suffering through injuries to their big guys, to their no names, just to basically everybody. But right now, the Cavaliers have actually kind of avoided a major injury, at least so far, and I think that's very helpful to them to keep growing as a team. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Boston Celtics, overall record of 39-16. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they are currently on a three-game winning streak. This past week, they beat the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. Right now, Jason Tatum is averaging 27 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, and 6 assists per game. And Jaylen Brown is, he's actually starting to get going. You know, he kind of started off the season kind of quiet. Now he's been going. He's averaging 23 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and 5 assists per game. So he's starting to get going, and this team's starting to become more consistent. You know, they kind of had their lull a couple weeks ago, but now they seem to be back at it and probably ready for a second half run here. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the hottest team in the league continues their reign of terror, and that is the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 36-19. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games and currently on an 8-game winning streak, which is why I'm like, this team is hot. This past week, they only played the Portland Trail Blazers. They played them twice and beat them twice. And Nikola Jokic, you know, he's been the MVP multiple times. And this year, he's actually having the greatest season of his career, which just is mind-blowing. He's averaging a triple-double per game. Stop me if you've heard that before. Right now, averaging 30 points per game, 13 rebounds per game, and 10 assists per game. The guy is just a triple-double machine. Like I keep saying, Denver is getting healthier. They are getting stronger. Jamal Murray, he's just been going off. Brown, their young guy, he's starting to get going. They just are a really solid team, and they have that championship pedigree. I really think if Oklahoma City needs to watch out for any team in the Western Conference, it's 100% the Denver Nuggets, because they've got the experience, but they also have Jokic, the best player in the league. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 36-18. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Phoenix Suns, but lost to the Los Angeles Clippers. But they are just damn good. Jaren Jackson having a phenomenal career year. Ja Morant, he's also having a great year also. And then the rookie Zach Edey. This guy is just dominating the paint. He seems to be getting better as the season wears on. And it's just going to be interesting to see how this Memphis Grizzlies team stacks up once they get to the playoffs, because they've got a lot of offensive firepower, but they are really dominant in the paint. And they're really good defensively as well. And not a lot of people are looking at them. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 32-20. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz and then lost to the Utah Jazz. This was the week that Luka finally debuted in his first game against the Jazz. He dropped 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. And then in the second game, he had 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. So very solid numbers for him. He obviously didn't really play a lot of minutes because he is coming back from a calf injury. You know, those are pretty solid numbers for your first two games against the Utah Jazz. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 36-18. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers and the Atlanta Hawks. And Jalen Brunson having a fantastic year, averaging 26 points per game, 8 assists per game. And then you've got Karl Anthony Towns averaging 25 points per game, 13 rebounds per game, and 3 assists per game. So these two guys, they are just having fantastic years. But then also Josh Hart. I keep talking about him basically every week because he's just in it defensively, but then he also has these crazy offensive outbursts where all of a sudden he's dropping 30 points here and there, and he's just such a scrappy guy in the paint. offering them a lot of defense, and he's just having a career year. A lot of these guys on the Knicks are just having a fantastic season. But, you know, you look at the top of the Eastern Conference here, and you've got Cleveland and Boston above them. I don't know if they quite reached that peak yet, but we'll see what happens as the season wears on. Because defensively, I think the Knicks definitely are a better defensive team than both the Cavaliers and the Celtics, but I don't know, they're just not as consistent as those two teams. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that is just really cooled off, and that is the Houston Rockets. Overall record of 34-21. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Phoenix Suns, but lost to the Golden State Warriors. And even their coach, he was just saying after their loss to the Golden State Warriors, he was basically asked what's going on with this losing streak, and he's just wondering if his team is mentally and physically fried at this point in the season, which is not a good thing to be saying heading into the second half of the season. But that does mean they probably really needed this All-Star break. So hopefully they're able to reset. They do have a solid coach. I mean, Ime Udoka, he did great things with Boston while he was there. And he's been doing good things so far with Houston. So maybe he'll be able to get them in line and get back ready for a second half run. But that's kind of been my thing with Houston is, were they just a first half folly, or are they actually a consistent team? But, when your coach calls you out for being mentally and physically fried, that says a lot just heading into the second half of the season. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 31-25. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, but did get a win over their division rivals, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Anthony Edwards having a solid year, averaging 28 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and 5 assists per game. And they're actually getting a lot of production from Naz Reid as well. He's had quite a few really solid games over the last couple of weeks. Minnesota actually started off the season very quiet, not looking good as they normally do. Now they've started to pick it up. They are going to get some help back with Julius Randle. So we'll see if he's able to provide them more of a spark, because he was actually playing really well before he was injured. But, Minnesota hasn't been that consistent, but we'll see if they're able to get some consistency going here during the second half of the season. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Clippers, over a record of 31-23, they're 6-4 in their last 10 games and are currently on a 3-game winning streak. This past week, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies and the Utah Jazz. James Harden's actually having a very solid regular season, as he tends to do. He's averaging 22 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and 9 assists per game. Kawhi Leonard, ever since he came back from his injury, he's actually been getting better and stronger. So we'll see if he's actually able to complete the rest of the season, because that's always been the questions with Kawhi, is when he's out on the court and when he's healthy, he actually plays really well. He's a game changer. He still is a game changer, game breaker. But we don't really know how well he plays anymore, just because he plays for a month and then is injured for a month, plays for a month and then is injured for a month. It just kind of feels like he's always in and out of the lineup. And we don't really actually know how well, or if he even has chemistry with James Harden really at all. And these guys have played with each other now 1.5 seasons, and we still don't really know what's up with them. So we'll see what happens in the second half of the season if Kawhi's able to stay healthy. Hell, even James Harden has had issues with injuries in the past as well. So we'll see if the Clippers are able to get some type of consistency going here, but they're definitely going to need Kawhi to stay healthy to be a consistent team. All right, and we do have a topic that I've been kind of putting on the back burner until we get more time to discuss it. But since it's the NFL offseason, what normally happens in the NFL offseason is we tend to have a few guys get arrested, which a few have been. But there's a big story that's coming out, and it might sound like a repeat of a story we had a couple of years ago. It's with a different player this time. And if you're familiar with the Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker, he's actually probably considered one of the greatest kickers of all time, definitely in this day and age. He has now been accused by 16 massage therapists of being a fucking weirdo, just like Deshaun Watson, and dangling his wang on people and ejaculating all over stuff when nobody's asking for this shit. This apparently happened between 2012 and 2016, so you gotta kind of wonder where this is coming from. The only reason why I say that is because the whole Deshaun Watson thing, the only reason why that got brought up is because the lawyer, Terry Busby, he's a total scumbag, by the way. I totally support some of the things he's done over the years. He's taken down some pieces of shit, but he's also a piece of shit himself. And he's also a Houston Texans fan. And basically kind of what pissed him off is that Deshaun Watson requested the trade from the Texans. And so he and the owner of the Texans colluded and were like, oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson's a weirdo. So let's put all this shit out here. And that's why all those lawsuits came about against Deshaun Watson. Not saying that Deshaun Watson isn't a scumbag or anything. If you listen to the show over the years, you know I think that guy's an absolute piece of shit. But I'm just simply pointing out the only reason why those charges were brought up is because he wanted a trade from the Texans. Had he shut up and just played for the Texans, we probably wouldn't have heard a word about it. But Justin Tucker, you know, he did have a terrible season. So you gotta wonder if maybe there's some thing going on. Maybe, you know, because he might be wanting some money with a contract, and maybe the ownership's kind of like, oh, let's put this out there. So maybe it's something along those lines. But it's obvious that Justin Tucker is a fucking weirdo, whether he's been, none of these are criminal charges, by the way. They're all, of course, civil cases at this point in time. But a couple of the stories, none of these people knew each other, by the way. But a few of these stories, he's actually been banned from a couple of massage spas. So that kind of goes to show you there's probably some validity to these claims. And that he's probably a total fucking weirdo. And you know what? He's already on basically the tail end of his career. So let's say he gets suspended this year. It's probably not going to be much of a big deal because he's probably going to be heading out any day now. But I'm just kind of wondering why the charges came about. But I will say I believe him. And I think he's a total fucking weirdo, just like Deshaun Watson. And we'll see what happens here. But, you know, the NFL's probably going to have to step in here once we get closer. You know, because it kind of feels like every day now we have more and more massage therapists coming out and speaking about what a weirdo Justin Tucker is. So we'll see what happens with that. Like I said, to me, there's probably, I just think it's weird that it's out of nowhere. And probably some little goings on behind the scenes with something stupid that none of us know. But all I know is it sounds like Justin Tucker is a total fucking weirdo, just like Deshaun Watson. This is what happens in the NFL offseason. If you actually look at it, I could actually talk about five different guys if somebody just got arrested earlier today for a DWI. So that's what happens in the NFL offseason. They all aren't at work, and so they all start getting arrested again because that's what happens. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.